Hey, everybody, we're back. Hey, let's talk about it. It's back. Let's talk about it for real. So, y'all, we're back Friday night. Y'all, we pushing because all of us is tired on tonight.
For real.
We determined to keep going and not allowing the week to slow us down. So, y'all, we got our girls on tonight. We got Darina and Dawn and yours truly, Alice Robinson. So y'all, we talked a little bit before we came on. We was talking a little bit about our week and how the week was going. So Darina was just sharing with us about her day on today. And so we're going to talk a little bit about our week and then we're going to move on into the subject because the subject is deep on tonight. And I believe it's something that all of us want to talk about, but are a little fearful to talk about this topic, but we're going to talk about it. So, Darina, tell us about your day on today.
You know what? It's just been one attack after the other. So I went to work, and I was supposed to have my annual evaluation. And one of my old supervisors was going to do the evaluation. Come to find out, they put my new position under him. So I got evaluated for my new position on my old evaluation. And he was like, "This is not my department. I'm just going to do how it pertains to my old department." I'm like, "Okay, is it going to affect my store?" Nope. Fine, go on and submit it. So a little while later, I'm sitting up talking to my coworker, and my throat started itching. My chest started getting tight. I started coughing and wheezing. Had to go find all my inhalers. And people start running. I'm up here stripping, standing in front of the fan because I didn't get hot. It was like, you need to go home. You need to go to the ER, but you need to go home. So I got sent home.
So what you mean all your inhalers?
Right.
Well, they gave me two. One was a rescue and one is supposed to be preventative.
Well, the preventative you're supposed to take before you take the rescue, like during the week.
Well, you know. Hey.
Because both of my girls got two inhalers. So the rescue is when it's emergency, but the preventative is what you take way before you ever need the rescue.
Potato, potato, you know. Hey, I took it. It eventually worked. Hours later, you know.
Oh, my gosh. So, Dawn, how was your week?
Girl, please. I'm grateful that I get to wake up and I see another day. But these days are going by too fast. It's already the first week of February is gone.
Yeah, it's the 7th.
We ain't got that many more to go this month and the year be over with. But it's been a trying week. I went to clock in this morning for work and we had a power outage, a massive one apparently. They hit them things?
Transformers.
Yeah, supposedly a semi-truck hit two of them, so... Yeah, I had no power for a while, and it was like, well, what do you do? Do you go to bed?
Go to bed.
That's what my daughter said. Go to bed, take a nap, do something. I was like, no, walk the dogs. And I did everything but, so I'm a little tired, but it's been a long week.
Yeah, I would have went to bed.
It's been a long week.
I would have went to bed. So my
week, I wouldn't have woke up.
Girl, I would have went to bed. My week was long. It definitely was real long. My job, y'all already know my job is a lot. But I've been off for the last 2 days because, of course, Chayla's been sick and Dawn, you know, and Darina know. So she's been sick for the last 2 days. So I ain't getting no sleep. She's sleeping in her own room, but I have to get up every 4 to 5 hours to make sure she got medicine on board so she comfortable, even though mama not. But it ain't about me.
Baby days no more. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's about making sure that she's comfortable, that we get past this little illness. But hey, but otherwise, I'm still here and I'm grateful for that, because somebody don't got that testimony. So
that part.
So glad to see both of y'all on tonight.
Hey, and so hey, Dorina.
So does somebody you were so fast. So what y'all want? One of y'all want to give our topic on tonight?
I guess. Go ahead, Dawn.
Well, excuse me. We are going to talk about church hurt.
Wow.
The hurt in the church. What is church hurt? How do you get past church hurt? How do you continue to grow with church hurt? So we got a lot. This I told Alice, I said, this could be a whole series we could talk about.
Oh, yeah.
This particular subject, it's going to take more than an hour to really discuss. Because each one of us have our own story. And it's even worse. I ain't gonna say worse, but when you grew up in a church and you have family members that's in the church that are sitting in the pulpit, and then you have people who don't recognize you for your giftings, but yet they wanna pimp your giftings, if I can say that word.
Yeah.
Then you have those, because you look at these people as leaders that you should be able to trust. I figure if I'm paying my tithes to you in your house and I'm listening to your word and I'm serving in this church, then I should be able to come to you with issues, not have those issues preached about or talked about, or have you look down on me or treat me some kind of way. Or if I hit hard times, or I have a situation that because you haven't experienced it, you don't know how to handle it. So I get kicked to the curb. So church hurt. I can go all the way back to 40 years ago when I got pregnant with my daughter. I was in a Baptist church and I was 21. I had my own place. I had my own things. I had my own two jobs on top of that. And the first person I actually told that I was pregnant was my pastor. I told him before I told the dad. And he said, okay, well, what you gonna do? And I said, well, I'm going to raise the baby. What do you mean? What am I going to do? He said, okay, well, you made that choice, so I'm going to support you with that choice. Okay, so time went on. I didn't know the pastor didn't talk to his wife. Now, my pastor was an older man. They weren't young couples. They were older couples, and older man and woman. And again, Baptist church, I don't know. I just grew. I just started. I went there from 16 on. So long story short, I was pregnant, been pregnant by my boyfriend I've been with for 5-6 years. And I started showing, because I was a little bitty thing. I was skinny. I was a hot mama, but I was skinny. And so by 5 months, I started showing. And I was doing devotion. And the first lady of the church waited till I finished. And she said, can I talk to you? And I said, yes, ma'am. What can I do for you? She said, are you pregnant? I said, yes, ma'am. Are you married? Now, this woman knew doggone well I wasn't married. I've been in your church since I was 16. I'm 21. You know I ain't married. Well, who's the father? Does he go to this church? I said, no, but his family does. And he's here. He frequents the church. You know, went through that whole spiel, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, I was told that I could no longer serve in the church because I was pregnant out of wedlock. Keep in mind, I'm a baby Christian. I don't know what the rules and regulations is, you know, other than you ain't supposed to be having sex. I knew that, but hey, you know, it is what it is. And I couldn't be. I was in a choir. I was on devotion. I was on the courtesy committee. I was in the devotion committee. I was on the welcome committee. I was on a whole lot of things in the church. And she stripped all that away from me because I was pregnant and I wasn't married. And then she told me, after you have the baby, then you're going to stand in front of everybody in this church and apologize to these people, to apologize to us and ask us for forgiveness. Now I was 21. I wasn't all the way saved. I ain't going to hold you up. And it's only because she was my elder that I not cuss her out, to be truthful with you. I'm just telling the God's honest truth. Right. But that shocked me, because I'm sitting there and I everybody wanted to know why, because we had a program going, why weren't you singing? What happened? Why are you sitting down? Come on, you're supposed to be there. I said, no, First Lady said I couldn't be up there. So everybody was losing it. And because I was 21, I didn't know any better. This is my first time experiencing church hurt. Like, now your husband was okay with it and told me he would support me and whatever I needed. We going to talk to me. We're going to counsel, blah, blah, blah. And I told Pastor blah, 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 and he didn't tell you? No, we live in separate rooms. However, that, you know, older couple, yada, yada. Long story short, I stopped going to church. Just stopped going to church. Because when I needed, I didn't know what it was like to be 21, young and pregnant. I knew I wanted a baby. I thought I could handle it, but that was a whole different trauma and traumatic experience. And then for you to tell me I got to stand before people who I know sinning in the church, grown folks, old people, married husbands, wives cheating on each other, wives gambling, you know, I'm not getting ready to do that. Who are you to judge me?
Yeah.
So that was my first experience. And again, that was, my daughter's 39 now.
That should have been your choice. And I know people may feel different about that, but that should have been your choice. If you chose to stand up there, that should have been your choice and not something that they should have put a demand on you. Because this is like, now I'm gonna give this scenario. It's like taking cigarettes out of a person's pocket and throwing them away, but they didn't throw it away, and say, you're going to be delivered from these cigarettes, but I'm going to help you. You're not helping nobody. It's got to be their choice whether they give it up or they hold on to it. It should have been your choice if you wanted to stand before this congregation and ask for forgiveness. But to me, the only person you needed to go before was God. Because he, the only one that had, was able to deliver you. He was the only one that could keep you out of hell. Their job was just to support you. Now, I'm not talking about clap their hands, rally around you, but no. Yes, the choice you made wasn't a good one, but it was your choice to make. Now, how do we support you in the decision that you make? Our job is to minister to you and navigate you along this way. We know people ain't going to do that.
And you know, it's interesting because I saw something on TikTok or Facebook or one of these.
She said Facebook.
Somebody took my footstool. And the pastor, this young girl, she was a teenager. I saw this recently. And he told her, embarrassed her in front of everybody, told her to stand in front of everybody in the church. And she went to touch the table they had set up for like communion or whatever. He told her, don't touch that because you unclean. This is on Facebook. I mean, one of these social medias. And
it was TikTok.
You know what I'm talking about? And it was a black man.
I didn't see that.
And he told the people in the church. She told him what she did. She apologized. He said, y'all better not go to her. And I'm paraphrasing. This is me paraphrasing. Y'all better not go to her baby shower. I better not hear none of that. Y'all attending. Now, we don't, I mean, girl, that's something inside of me revved up inside of me, because that told me I still wasn't delivered from that.
Yeah.
That thing with that girl, I wanted to run to where that young lady was, to wherever she is, and hug her and say, baby, hold on, baby. They can't judge you.
Uh-uh.
But,
no. And you know, the thing with that, now I've heard little bits and pieces about from different individuals about, you know, what she was made to do. You know, again, the problem that I have, y'all know you stream every Sunday. Every Sunday, y'all know the format or the formality you go through. And you're going to be on Facebook, you're going to be on whatever, and you're going to stream it. If she chose, like I told, if it's a choice for her to get up and do it, that was between her and the church, not the whole world.
That part.
And I'm saying, if she chose to get up and say, I'm asking for forgiveness, that's if that's what she chose. I can't say what she did or didn't, but I'm just saying, if she chose to do it, it wasn't for the whole world to be in on it.
To me, that was a form of manipulation. That was manipulation. That was witchcraft. That was control.
That was humiliation.
It is humiliation. And that's just one form of church hurt, which should have been done.
But my question in this, and this would be my question to the pastor, and I know that people got their saying or whatever, but my question to the pastor and to the congregation, this is my question, and I'd be happy if somebody would answer this question. Where did God get the glory in that? That's my question. That's all I got to say. I'm not going to be on my soapbox. My question is, where did God get glory out of that? Because all you that I could see from everybody talking, the few that talked to me, was all negative stuff. God is never, ever going to be associated with nothing negative.
You're right.
So where did God get the glory out of her standing up in front of the church, in front of millions, billions of people, because I guess it went viral on social media? How did God get the glory out of what was done? And that's so I have a problem. That's where I got a problem. I got a problem when you do these things and you say, I'm trying to set order. That was out of order because there was no glory in it.
Now, let me give you the flip side. I agree to everything that you were saying about what it was. I look at it from another perspective. It was humiliating. Her own mother defended the act and the pastor. But I'm hoping that young lady felt the love from everybody else where she didn't get it at the church.
Yeah.
Because the backlash was, oh my goodness. And I can't remember right now who it was, but some celebrity was like, I will give her everything that she needs. You know, whatever she needs, I will throw her a baby shower. I will, you know, make sure that she have. And other people was like, you know, just post the link. That baby will have everything it needs. You know, let me give you a hug. You know, that was so not right. So on the flip side, she was shown some love where she should have gotten it from the church, but it wasn't received from the church.
But the thing, that's true. That's true.
You get love on the streets.
You get
in the world.
Mm-hmm. But that's definitely true. But the thing is this. The shame came back to the body of Christ.
Yeah. As a whole. Yes, as a whole.
I'm not talking about that church. I'm talking about this is what the church does.
Most definitely.
This is not what everybody does. And this is what I don't want. And so we talk about, in this podcast, we're talking about church hurt. And we use this word because that's what everybody is familiar with. But we know it's not the building that hurts you. It's the people in the building.
Right.
That hurts you. And what happens, though, with this thing that happened with this young woman, it brought chaos to the body of Christ. So when I'm talking about God didn't go, you brought shame to the whole body. Now, I'm not talking about that particular, just that church. I'm talking about it's one more mark against the body, because they said this is what the church do, this mm-hmm. is what the world said this is what the church do, this is why I don't go, this is why exactly why I don't go to church, because they do this stuff inside the church, this is why I don't go.
And a lot of people have shared experiences when they were had their experience with being, you know, having a child out of wedlock in the church and the negative experiences that they had. So
yeah, Yeah, and we got to stop that mess. Y'all got to stop talking about this. This is God. God ain't in all that. He's not in. Now, yeah, I get they made a mistake. But haven't we all fall short of the glory of God? But our job is to go in, whoever it is, and to undergird them until God restores them. Our job is to restore, not to tear down. But it's we got to stop, because that stuff just make me frustrated. That stuff make me so frustrated that, and then they say they do it in the name of the Lord. I really have to say that's a no for me. That's a big no for me, because if God don't get glory out of it, and if it brings negativity or another black mark against the body, because not every individual is like that. They're not like that. And I'm gonna tell you what, my father-in-law, it wasn't like that. Now, I didn't have that experience, but I had someone in the church that did have that experience. They did not make that person stand up in the church and apologize to the whole church, because it's their choice whether they wanted to do or not. But that's between them, the person that they're having a baby by, and God. They're going to have to work that out. And then they're going to have to figure out where they're going to go from here in their salvation. So, yeah, I'm going to have to watch that video, because I ain't seen it. But if I watch it, it'll probably make me mad. So I maybe better not watch it, because it'll probably make me upset to watch them put the girl on Front Street.
I'm gonna send it to you.
You gonna try to make me mad? You just wanna make me upset. But yeah, But I know we all have had, whether it's a pregnancy or something in our lifetime that we have come in contact within the church and has caused us wounds. And some of the wounds are deep, and it takes years and years and years to heal. And, you know, I've got my own experience with church hurt, people hurt, where, and I've talked to you too about this one in particular. And I think what hurt me more than the fact that they hurt me, what hurt me more is that they hurt my children. And so when you hurt them, it's a whole another different level for me. And the ministry that I was in, I did a lot. And Donald, you know what I'm talking about. I did a lot in this ministry. I was very involved and active in this ministry, praise and worship leader, on the youth, one of the youth leaders, in the social media, ran the social media, did all their streaming, created all their programs, I did it all. And was invited to the houses and of the leaders and all this, and was all goody, goody, goody. But when my husband passed, because he was the minister of music in this ministry, but when he passed, I guess I was no longer any good, and neither was my children. And so the new person that was now playing took over the position that my husband had. Now he wasn't living holy. He was not saved. He was not saved by no means. And I'm gonna leave it like that. And I got witnesses to say that he wasn't saved, because if you living in the house with somebody, you ain't married to them, that's an issue. But you still playing. They never ever participated in praise and worship, none of that. But all of a sudden now you're on the praise and worship team and the choir, but never been a member, never joined. But now you here, and now I'm no longer praise and worship leader. I'm no longer doing this. I'm no longer doing that. But when somebody come to preach and the praise and worship team is off, we go sit down. You want to call me up. And now you want me to sing to usher in the anointing, but I wasn't good enough to lead praise and worship anymore because now my husband's gone. We don't get invites no more. Matter of fact, you invite other people and keep it a secret, but it come back to us what you did. And then when my children find out that you had a party and was told them that they weren't having children, but then you find all the kids from this other person was there, what does that do to them? And you say you're a leader. So I dealt with the thing of I'm not good enough because I'm no longer the wife of that individual. That made my children feel like they weren't good enough. We got to learn. And this, the Lord taught me through this experience, I don't need nobody else's validation. I don't need nobody else to validate who I am. And the Lord had to remind me, you forgot who you were in this ministry. You forgot who you were.
I wouldn't say that you forgot who you were. They took away who you were because they made you do and had you do everything. And then they exploited what you had, your giftings. But because you were no longer a whole, you were no longer a whole person with your husband, you were by yourself, you know, you were no longer needed.
Yeah. And you know what? And people kept coming up to me saying, why are they doing that?
Get in here.
Why are they doing that to you?
What you whining for?
And I couldn't. And they said, well, why aren't they having you lead praise and worship? Why aren't they having you do that? Why they don't invite you in the girls anymore? And I told them, I just told them straight up, we ain't good enough anymore. We're not good enough anymore to be that. And it took, and I had to pray. I did. I had to pray because I was angry. And we don't want to say I was angry, I was hurt, and I was mad. Because what I really, really, really wanted to do, Alice Marie Robinson wanted to tell some jokers off. I did. I wanted to let go and do a tongue lashing. I did. I want to talk about them bad. I want to talk about how you ain't living this, you ain't living that, and you standing there preaching, but I know what you did. But I didn't do that. But I wanted to. And I'm so grateful that I allowed the Holy Ghost to override me. Because it wouldn't have been no good for me, and it wouldn't have did no good for my three children. It wouldn't have did them any good. And eventually, as time went on, it came back like, why aren't y'all talking to us? I said, I don't have nothing to say at this juncture. I don't have anything to say. I'm gonna live my life and y'all live yours. And that's how I left it. And of course, you know, you lose respect. You lose all respect for these individuals, these people. But we have to learn that we should not have to be guarded. We shouldn't have to be guarded in the house of God. We should not have to put up a barrier or a wall because we don't know the next person that's going to come up and try to harm us or hurt us. It's sad.
Now let me say this because I don't want to be like the devil advocate in this and the other either. Because this is Church hurt. Let's see. What is church hurt? It's emotional, physical, or spiritual harm caused by a church or its members.
Yeah.
And it can be caused by the actions of the church leaders or other members. Because there are some pastors who have left the church because of members of the church.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because I ran them out. Thank you. Yeah. New pastor shows up. And because the church don't want to change, they figured out a way to get the pastor taken out of there. Or they've embezzled the money and accused the pastor and things like that. So it can be both ways. Yeah, it can come from leaders. So.
Yeah.
And it can come from the members of the church.
Yeah.
What causes church hurt? Being exploited within the church. When your gifts are being used, but then they don't want to promote you or acknowledge you when other people are around. Being hurt by words or actions. My whole thing with being in that situation at 21 and pregnant was, again, I was new. Even though I was in 16 in the church, I wasn't in church like that, you know.
Yeah, 17. Right.
I wasn't faithfully in church. Someone should have pulled me to the side and said, you know what? Let me show you what happened and what you did wrong. Let me help you. Let me counsel you. Let me mentor you.
Let me get through
this. Out of everybody in that church, and this church was a huge church, huge Baptist church in Chicago. It was massive. Out of 200 people, three people, I can count on my hand, my three fingers, how many people called every week to check on me?
Wow.
Three people. And told me, you can't let what the first lady said stop you from serving God. I built up a whole resistance. If this is how God people is, I'm not going to church. And I'm definitely not going to put my baby in that church. But that rejection, that opened up that door of rejection that I have been dealing with all my life that I didn't even realize was there. It was like you said, I'm not good enough. The devil comes in and reminds you and start poking at you. And it opens up those doors to other spirits that you didn't even know were there because it's attached to something else.
Yeah, yeah.
So being hurt by other members in the church. Now, I've had to go off on brothers and sisters and saints and ain'ts in the church, and I didn't repent. I'm gonna tell you the truth, God's honest. I didn't repent because I meant what I said and I said what I meant. I've had to go off on. I have gone off on some pastors, and the Lord had to deal with me on that, and it was like. He said, you don't have to respect the man, but you have to respect the calling.
Yeah. Yeah.
I called him. What he did was wrong, but you don't need to be wrong with him. So that was the only reason why I would apologize.
Right.
Because God had to step in. Anytime my mouth get me in trouble, God has to step in and intervene because I'm not that person. I'm not. I'm sorry. I ain't saved like everybody else saved. Call it what you want. Do it what you want.
It's true, though. It's true.
I ain't saved like everybody else saved. I've been through too much. And my relationship with God cost me everything.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, when I didn't have nothing, nothing, about to be evicted, God showed up in the midnight hour. And he told me, I'm all you will ever need. You don't need no one else or nothing else. I got you. And so had someone told me back then, 40 years ago, what you did was wrong, but let's get you through this.
Right.
I wouldn't have this right, thing. Right. Things wouldn't affect me a certain way. Healing from church hurt. You can go through therapy. You can go through counseling. But I wouldn't recommend you go through counseling with somebody in the church. I'm going to be honest. I don't care if your pastor is a counselor. Don't go to counseling with them. You need to go to counseling with somebody that don't know you, don't know your story, and that don't know your pastors.
So true. I have to agree with that. I do. I have to agree with that because the emotional attachment. And I think sometimes, and I'm not saying all the time, but I think sometimes they have a way of manipulating the situation. But if you can get a person outside of your circle that doesn't know you, that doesn't know your situation, and you talk, they can be objective. Because a lot of times I could tell you I had a council session with one of the leaders. It didn't turn out too good. Now this particular time, Marie came out. I had a few chosen words. I was very respectful. But so I have to agree with you. There, I don't think that when they know your situation, I think sometimes you need to be outside of, I would say it depends. You need to be outside because not everyone can be objective in your situation.
Not only that, not everyone is qualified to counsel you. I know one time I was engaged and called myself going to go to the current church I was going to because my church hurt started off because my father was the pastor. So that just compounded everything. Then I had church hurt surrounding my pregnancy because I had a child out of wedlock. So that was a whole bunch of stuff. But yeah, one time I was engaged. I called myself going to get some counseling from my current church. I was like, hey, we might as well just go and break up because that was the worst counseling experience I have ever had.
What was so bad about it?
How he was talking. You know, anybody that knows anything about counseling or therapy, it's more introspective, posing questions, getting you to think, getting you to make decisions. You know,
what's wrong with you?
I know I had shared some things with the counselor that I really hadn't shared with anybody. And he gonna just come out, yeah, XYZ. She said XYZ. I'm like, hold up. And my fiance looking at me like, I'm like, wait a minute. Just put me on blast. I'm like, you know, that was not the way to address that. You know,
too much familiar. He knew too much of your story for them to counsel, for this person to counsel you with your fiance. He knew too much of your past.
I was like, oh, we. So I was like, it was almost like that throwback to when I was in school. And you telling the counselor something, think it's gonna be made confidential, and you gonna, you know, work it in. Then they just like, oh yeah, let me just say this. I'm just like, okay.
You know, and you gotta be careful with that, because I know a lot of times I was talking to the leader, and I would say something to the leader, and then what I said would come from over the pulpit in a message. And I'm like, so you done took my conversation with you and you done turned it into a message. Okay. So, you know, I gave it the first time. And I was like, okay, that might have been an accident. You know, it's the Lord. That's the Lord talking to me. But after the third time, I was like, no. You got people shouting over what I done told you. So what I'm going to stop doing, first of all, I'm highly offended. I'm wounded and I'm hurt. Because these people are shouting around me about something that I done told you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop giving you your messages. So you're not going to get no more messages from me.
As a PK, my whole life was a sermon.
I'm so glad. Sunday. I'm so glad I didn't have that experience.
Every Sunday. So whatever I did was coming out in the pulpit. Everybody knew my business. Everybody.
Were you an only child, Arena?
Oh, no.
I come from a small family of 10.
So all y'all was on blast.
But it seemed like just me. It seemed like I'm sure. Now my other sister said at some point, you know, she was put on blast, but I actually had to leave. I actually ran away from my father's church. I was like, I can't take this no more.
And I think it was
so much stuff going on. I'm like, I just can't do it.
I think I remember when we had came down for one service and you weren't there. And I was like, where this girl at? And then the next year we came, I saw you, but you was like, I don't go here no more. But you know what? I have to, you know, and I know why you left, but I have to commend you, because a lot of children feel like they owe their parents that they have to stay out of obligation. And I don't, now this is just me. I think sometimes it's better not to be under your daddy's or mom's watch care. It's just me.
Mine was more rebellion, because I was so fed up with not only putting my life on blast, but my father was a talker. Not only over the pulpit, but he would be on the phone 24/7. So he would tell your business to all of his members, right? So the members was like, you're supposed to be a PK. You're supposed to be a PK. You know, and literally, I was stunted. I couldn't grow. I couldn't go. I couldn't do anything. I felt like I was suffocated.
Standard was too high.
And I was like, and then, you know, you have a mom, first lady saying that, you have a first lady saying that, well, let not your good be evil spoken of. You know, be careful what people think about you, what people say about you. I was about to go crazy. So I started snapping off on people. And then that was wrong. So when I went to my next church, I found one of the biggest churches I could find.
So you can hide in it.
At the time, it was about 10,000 members, I think it was. I said, oh, find me a big church, I'm going to hide. I ain't doing nothing. Sitting in the back. Ain't doing nothing. Ain't nobody going to know my name. Why is it that he started preaching, you're saved to serve, and you can't be a pew member? And woo, I was like, hey, Donnie, why
found you? Found you. Me? Found you. Lord, found you.
I was like, can I go have, please? Can I go, you know, be in the background? I'm like, damn. But, yeah. So, but I was traumatized from a whole bunch of stuff. It's just too much stuff to name.
And the thing with church hurt is it affects your relationship with God, the church, and the congregation. It affects how you raise and teach your children. It affects how often you attend a church. And most importantly, it affects how you connect with other Christians. Because you're gonna always look upside like that we use that young lady and that pastor. Everybody's condemning the church now, thinking that this is all Christianity, this is what Christians do, Baptist, whatever religion that was, thinking that this is how God is, this is the type of God y'all serve. Why do I want to serve that type of God if this is what he allows to happen? So it affects the way we connect with other peoples when we've been hurt in the church. Now, just so people don't think that we're crazy, Paul went through this, 1 Thessalonians. But the difference between Paul was like, look, and I'm paraphrasing, y'all know my experience. Y'all know what I went through. They talked about me. They beat me. They put me in jail. They this, that, and the other. But I'm here to tell you I am who I say I am. I'm here to serve God. And again, I'm paraphrasing. You can check 1 Thessalonians 2:1-2. I mean, 1 Thessalonians 2 and all the way down. And he talked about his sincerity of his ministry, even though he himself experienced the church hurt himself with the Thessalonians. So this is not something that we're just talking about. And there's so many levels of church here. We just touched the tip of an iceberg. Mine started with my being pregnant with my daughter. Alice had something totally different. Darina's, hers was being a preacher kid. But there's so many other levels. I can talk about how my eldership got snatched away from me because I was getting ready to, I gave a prophetic word because I am prophetic and I am a prophetess. And I'm not bragging or boasting about that. That is my calling.
Yes,
and
is.
I gave it to a young woman, and I gave this word to this one. Before I gave it to her, she kept saying, "You got a word for me, you got a word for me." And I said, "I do, but I can't give it to you right now." Because there was a person there that God did not want to hear that word. And so she kept saying, "No, give me my word, you got something." And this is an awesome woman of God. She's an apostle and everything now. And I said, "I don't feel comfortable giving you this word right now." She pressed on and pressed on and pressed on. So I delivered the word, and I was going through eldership. I was 3 weeks from getting my certificate, whatever it is, paper, documentary, whatever papers y'all get for that eldership, your document certification. And that same week, the next week, I was going to go pay $500 for a cassock. You mean the whole garb? It was seven women. Long story short, gave her the word, told exactly verbatim everything that God has showed me. That young man went back and told her husband what I said, and he twisted some of the stuff around. That her husband went to the pastor and told them that I was causing strife in his marriage and blah, blah, blah. So long story short, my eldership got taken away from me because they said I wasn't mature enough. And that I was causing problems in a marriage. And that young lady did not defend me. Oh. So when I had to pull her into the office with the pastor, I told her, I said, "Either you tell them exactly what happened, or me and you going to have a problem up in this church. And I'm going to tell everything about you that you don't want other people to know." She admitted what I said was right, and that the young man had lied. But they still took my eldership away from me. I got to the point where I was getting ready to walk out that church. I was ready to fight the pastor and his wife. And because I worked hard for that. Mm-hmm. And I was getting good grades. I was, you know, smart as a whip, blah, blah, blah. And the Lord said, "If you leave this church this way, you're going to have to repeat this. But if you stay and let me, and I'll tell you when to leave, then you'll never have to go through this again." So we have to be in our frustration and our hurt and our anguish. We have to still be able to hear that still small voice inside of us when God is speaking to us, because we'll make decisions out of haste. Again, things rev up in you. If you start having flashbacks, PTSD, and you're ready to fight everybody up in the church. Because they're doing you wrong, because they have a title over you. So the Lord told me each month, up to a year, he said, "You're going to leave, but you're going to leave in this way." He told me to step down from this ministry. I did. They didn't like it. They got mad, didn't care. The next month, step down from this ministry. I did exactly what he said. And then when I told him I was leaving, that was a whole nother problem. I didn't care because I had God by my side. But they started trying to cause problems for me, to the point that when I went to a different church, and this was my family's church, I'll say that it was my family's church. And my cousin called the pastor of the church, and he said, "Hey, I'm not trying to pick or take from your congregation. She came to me." And my pastor told my cousin, who is the pastor, told him, "Be careful with her." Make that make sense. I've served you for 5 years. I did nothing wrong and I was never out of pocket with you. I paid my tithes. I attended your church. I was over all these ministries for you. I did everything in your church that you asked me to do. And this is what you told a man of God who I am related to. And you thought that wasn't going to get back to me? So I did what I did. I did what God told me to do. And I have not set foot back up in that church since.
You know what that's like, though, Dawn? That's like what happened in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. And if you read the 10th through the 12th verse, where they had conflict because of a decision of wanting to have a certain person not telling the truth or over something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it caused conflict in the body. Now, you told the woman out of your mouth, I'm not comfortable with giving you this word. But she didn't have the ear, first of all, to hear what you were saying, because all she wanted was the word, regardless of what she wasn't thinking it was going to be. And this is a lot of people get what prophetic word is. They get it confused to where, baby, you're going to get a brand new car.
Hmm.
They always think that it's going to be, you're going to get a brand new house. You're going, no, it's a word of correction, a word of warning. So if you got a really a good ear of what it is, you're going to say, yeah, tell me that later. When you're in the position, if I'm telling you the Lord is telling me not now, then wait, but you're going to push me to tell you, then you're going to go tell your husband. Then he gonna do what they did in Corinthians. The people are talking sides based on which apostle they wanted to follow.
Follow, yep, yep.
And it caused issues. Now, she didn't want to follow your direction of what the law was saying. And then so she gonna take the word and take it, and then her husband gonna twist it. Now, causing conflict, not with just you, because of that, it caused also conflict in the body, because now you stepping down from things that you were leading. Now, what are those people going to do? Now, not only did he affect you, but he affected in her the whole body. Now, I don't know who pastor, because you never told me all this story. I don't know who the pastor is, but he should have had an ear to hear. And if he really was, and I'm tapped in to the Holy Ghost, to the Spirit of God, he would have knew if he had a spirit of discernment.
This is, well, when they don't want to promote you anyway.
No, because they don't want you because to be above them.
That's it. When the church... They know you have giftings, but they want to make sure your giftings don't outdo their giftings.
But in the body,
there's room for everybody. There's room for everybody.
My father-in-law said, no big eyes and no little U's.
It's like you get up to preach a sermon because you've been asked to preach or give a word, and then the pastor come up behind you and he or she wants to take another hour because you done now preached everything. You done shut the church down. You hear what I'm saying? You done shut it down. People done showed up. Everybody done gave their life to church, to the God. And now the pastor want to give up and say, well, I'm going to close this. Let's say my say, whatever. And then he's standing up there for another 30, 45 minutes because you done now preached him. It's not a competition. The body of Christ is not a competition.
But you know what? But we have made it that. We have made it that it is a competition to outdo one another. And like I said, again, y'all gonna hear this a lot. Y'all gonna hear this a lot. If it don't give glory back to God, stop. If it's not giving him glory and honor, stop it. This is not, we are not the world, and we should not look like it. We should not look like it, and we should not act like it. And we are not in a competition. We ain't going to win no awards. We ain't going to get to heaven. And the Lord ain't going to say, hey, you outdid John, baby. You really preached, girl. You suck. He ain't going to say that. He going to say, either depart from me, or he going to say, enter on in. Well done, my good and faithful servant. But competition, competitiveness, he ain't in all that. He not. So I guess my thing is, where, and I know this ain't no gonna be no answer, where did all this enter in that we as a body, supposed to be a body, let's say we are supposed to be a body, but we don't work together. We don't. You know, if you got one leg, you're going to need a crutch or a fake leg. Or you're going to have to hop around. It's going to be a little hard to hop for a long period of time. You're going to need some stability sooner or later. So how are we a body, but we can't work together?
Because we're always in competition, and when I know something about you, and the minute I can use it against you, I'm going to do that, therefore causing the spirit of rejection, isolation, and church hurt to creep in.
Well,
and
those
small demons, those small demons lead to bigger demons, lead to bigger issues. And church hurt is so real. And I know we're about to shut this down, but this, again, I told Alice when she brought it up, I said, this is a whole series. This will come back again. I promise
this
you.
This was Darina's topic. And me and you did most of the talking. I know she got a whole lot.
So we know we're going to bring this back again somewhere later on in the future, because this is just a little tidbit. But church hurt is very, very real. Yeah. And if you have experienced church hurt, I employ you to just stay in your word.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't talk to everybody because the people ain't been going through what you're going through. They're not going to understand.
Most definitely.
And they're going to tell you they don't understand. Just get over it. And that's the wrong thing you could tell somebody dealing with church hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do find other people who've been through church hurt, don't make it a bashing session. Encourage one another, strengthen one another, show each other how you can get over this hurdle, or it'll stop you from going to church altogether.
Yeah,
every church I've ever been to, I've dealt with church hurt. Every church.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to shut it down, but before we close this out, but I just want you to know it's important to acknowledge church hurt is real, and it causes real pain that lingers. It's like adding salt to wounds that never heal. It's like picking scabs off of old wounds. And the moment you pick that scab, it bleeds again and it opens up again. It refreshes over and over, and it takes time to heal. So church hurt can be a difficult experience, but please know that there's always healing available for church hurt.
Darina, you got something to say before we sign up for tonight?
Church hurt is like going to a hospital. There's sickness all around. And hospitals is one of the places where can be very dangerous. Although there's healing there, it can also kill you because of the infection, because of the germs that's there. Church hurt is an infectious germ.
And so I want to close out with just saying, don't allow people to stop you from where God is trying to send you. Don't allow them to be your hindrance. It's a choice that we have to make every day on what we choose to eat and what we choose to accept. I tell people all the time, don't eat what the devil is serving you. Tell him, I'm not taking it. And the scripture, before we close, Romans 8:37, it says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that love us. So know on tonight that God loves you. And don't allow anybody to stop you from where God is sending you. And I want to really encourage you in that. Because really the enemy is trying to use that to stop you from reaching your potential and your purpose in God. So on tonight, you guys know that God has got a plan for your life. And like we say, hey, remember, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it for real. We will see y'all on next.
Wait, go ahead, sis. Hello.
Go ahead.
I need you to do this. I need you to talk about this.
So y'all, so please go to our Cash App. Chili's, give it to me. Go to our Cash App. It is $. Okay, so you can go to $ driven in purpose. Hey, let's talk about it is under that umbrella. So go to $ driven in purpose Cash App, and you can Cash App, and then we'll put it into Hey, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it for real. So y'all, we can continue to do what we have to do for Christ, and then also our social media team will throw up a banner in our next promo video that's coming up on this week. And they'll put all the information in where you can actually even send monetary gifts in our Cash App. So you guys, we're trying to build kingdom. And we talked about how we are a body. It takes all of us. We're not in a competition with this podcast. We just want to deliver to you what God has given us and to encourage you that God has amazing, amazing, amazing things for you. And we're here to encourage you. So again, go to $ driven in purpose and sow your seed into this ministry. And we love you. We love you much. So y'all, until next week, hey, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it for real. Have a good night, y'all. We love you.
Good night. Bye, guys.